When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long. We're going to go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Zach, a lot of talk today, certainly about the further development of Chris Hilton at wide receiver. And we heard Joe Sloan tell us stuff about Caleb Jackson. He didn't need to tell us because we didn't see enough of him. But, man, is he carved out of stone now. I remember when he first came to LSU, he was like 205 pounds. And what he's up to now, 228 or 230 pounds. So a little bit about Chris Hilton's development at wide receiver and Caleb, who, and I think this is a big year for Caleb at running back.
Yeah, man, for sure. When it comes to Chris Hilton, this is a guy who's been waiting his turn. He's been waiting his opportunity. And now, with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. gone, it's kind of his time to shine. And you kind of look at him and Kyron Lacy to be that 1-2 punch at the receiver position. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen from Chris so far. He's been consistent. He hasn't dropped a pass yet. He looks like an impressive vertical threat. He's really been impressing as a slant receiver, too. So his speed's been on full display. I've been really excited about what I've seen from him so far. And look, man, like you said, it's his breakout year. It's his time to shine. And a lot of people call it the money year. And for him, it's definitely his money year, and he's looked the part for me. So I've been really impressed with what Chris Hilton's provided this program during fall camp so far, and it's just a matter of remaining healthy and continuing to hit that stride. And when it comes to Caleb Jackson, yeah, I mean, he's just an absolute stud. This is a guy who's up to 235 pounds now, believe it or not. Jeez. He's put on about 30, 35 pounds since he's got to campus in 2023, and he's in for a big-time year. You have Josh Williams in the backfield, who is just an unbelievable pass protector, but all eyes are going to be on Caleb Jackson to be that versatile three-down back. So really excited to see what Caleb Jackson and Chris Hilton can do this season, because it's time for a breakout season from both of them, and I fully expect that to be the case.
Now, Zach, what is your take? Because I don't care if it's LSU or it's the NFL or really if you're a head coach and you coach Kelly and, you know, you're observing what's going on in the competition, whether it's 7-on-7 team periods. You don't want the offense to dominate the defense. And it seems like my understanding, what I've read, is that at times that has been a 50-50 deal, that the defense has been able to make plays in different drills where, as a coach, that's what you want. You win some, you lose some, offense and defense, so you have some type of balance. Has that been the case? Because to truly be a playoff team this year and to get to 10 wins, the defense has to be drastically improved. You know, you might say you lost Jane Daniels and Nussmeyer. I'm not worried about Nussmeyer now. I'm worried about, come on, the defense. So you need a confidence and all that. So has it been a case in point where the defense at times, you see him making plays against the offense, and I don't know if you can break it down 50-50, but it's not just total domination by the offense.
Yeah, no doubt. Last season during fall camp with Jaden Daniels at the helm, you were just seeing him carve up that defense like a turkey every single day, and you didn't see a single play from the defense for the most part. And look, that's not even really a drastic overstatement. It was rare when you'd see the defense make an interception, a pass breakup, make anything highlight worthy. And now fast forward to 2024, and you're really looking at this defense make plays. And it's headlined by Ashton Stamps at the cornerback position. He's a Rummel product. He's from the Metairie area. he's really impressed so far. And for me, he has all the makings of being a breakout star. But kind of highlighting your question here, really, it's been about 60-40, 50-50. You've been seeing Garrett Nussmeier go over the top to Kyron Lacy. But then you'll see this defense shake back and make plays. And specifically for a guy like P.J. Woodland, who's a true freshman cornerback out of Mississippi, he's been a guy who's had his freshman moments, of course, during camp, as they all do. But he shook back in a really good way. We saw him get beat over the top on a play to Tre'Dez Green, made a phenomenal play. But then he shook back and made a really nice interception as well. So, look, you grow when you can. You take the good with the bad. And that's really what I've seen from this defense so far. And like you said, if you want to take that next step and get to a college football playoff chance, you're going to have to see that defense step up a significant amount, yes, but a good bit. Yeah, they're going to have to take that next step for sure. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen.
Now, Zach, looking at this from a special teams perspective, it seems like obviously they got to pay attention more to detail. That's Coach Kelly and what they're doing, whether in the return game. And then also when you're trying to flip the field and field position, all that. It seems like it's pretty wide open. I was reading where, as far as who's going to be the punter. Blake Oschendorf and then Peyton Todd, they're in a position battle, obviously, for starting duties there. And then looking at Oschendorf, he comes on the transfer after spring practice, from Louisiana Tech. Last year became first-team All-Conference USA, right on 46 yards per punt. Always look at – don't look at the gross punt. Look at the net because the hang time and the coverage. So, Zach, is it that still wide open? Because it can't be like all of a sudden you won the job and then you might say, well, it's college, it's not the NFL. But you can't shank no 15-yard punt. You have to punt it consistently. So what's your take on that competition?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. And you've seen in Brian Kelly's tenure in Baton Rouge, special teams has been a struggle. And that's no overstatement. It's been brutal. And especially when it comes to punting, kicking, everything, returning, everything needs a revamp here. And when it comes to the punt, the punter position battle, I'm starting to lean towards it's not as wide open as it was a week ago. Blake Oschendorf is really starting to separate himself from Peyton Todd, in my opinion. Peyton Todd didn't have a very impressive spring camp campaign. So you went out and you added a Louisiana Tech transfer, and Oschendorf's lived up to the hype so far. He's been significantly better than Peyton Todd, in my opinion. And you speak to a couple other people as well, and they would agree with that too. So for me, I think he's closing in on winning that battle, but Brian Kelly's going to give his veteran and Peyton Todd a chance down the stretch. But for me, I think Oschendorf is certainly looking the part and has an opportunity to win that battle. And the hang time's there. Everything's there. The distance, everything you're asking for from a punter is there. So I've been really impressed with what he's provided so far during spring camp. But I think they're going to let that dwindle down to the wire. But in my honest opinion, I think Oschendorf wins that job, and I think he wins it handily.
Zach, we sort of talked about this last night on a text, but back in 2020 after the national championship season, Coach O had asked me, hey, listen, when you've got free time, is the pandemic time, do a little breakdown on what positions get injured the most. And he was talking about missing games, college pro level. And it basically worked out exactly the same of what positions over a five-year period miss the most games. Number one, clear cut. Offensive tackle. Number two, offensive guards and center. Number three, cornerbacks. Number four, halfbacks. Five, interior defensive tackles. Now, we all know they return four of the five starting offensive linemen. And you got DJ Chester coming back. But history repeats itself with injuries. Offensive linemen are going to get hurt. So kind of run down a little bit the second team offensive line, because I'm telling you, that's going to be three or four times in this 2024 season, that if it's Bo Bordelon, if it's Paul Mabinda, if it's Cohen Echols, Weston Davis, okay, if you're an LSU fan, man, who the hell are those guys? Those are the guys that are going to be starting. Okay, guys get hurt inside. They get knocked around, and it's a real physical game. So kind of go through from left tackle to right tackle. Who would be the second-team offensive lineman? Yeah, they backups now, but eventually during the season, two or three or four of those guys are going to be starting at one time or another.
Well, exactly. Like Mike's saying, I don't care if it's LSU or the NFL because it's the same thing. Saudi said conference, I'll look at the NFL. You can't just have five starters. You got to have like six, if not seven, capable guys that you plug in and play and you don't miss a beat.
Yeah, no doubt. And Mike, I love the passion there, of course, because you're right. Dudes are going to get hurt, and people are going to have to step up and kind of take on that workload if need be. So kind of going from left to right at your left tackle, it's Tyree Adams. And for him, man, I have been so impressed with what he provides this program. It's another New Orleans native. He went to St. Aug, and he's been dominating in the trenches. He's up to around 6'7", 320-ish right now. He's an absolute monster. And for me, that's kind of your sixth man. That's your guy who has really taken a leadership role within that second unit. He's just been a really impressive guy. And then the rest of the guys are really young. Paul Mbenga at left tackle, Cohen Echols at center, Bo Bordelon at right guard, and then true freshman Weston Davis at the right tackle position. Bo Bordelon was the guy who was playing right tackle, and then you saw Weston Davis kind of emerge as a player who can really take on significant reps if need be. So they shifted Bo over to the right guard spot. And I think that could be his bread and butter, man. He's a guy who's versatile as all. I'll say, heck, we'll keep it PG. But he's a guy who's so versatile, and I've been really impressed with what he can do. He's got that lineage. He's obviously an LSU legacy with his dad, Ben Bordelon. So I've been really impressed with what he provides this program. But, look, that second team, it's been a hands-on approach from offensive line coach Brad Davis. He's been all over them like white on rice, and it's been really good to see. He's almost spending more time with the second team than the first team just because he's trying to keep them poised and ready just in case something happens. Like you said, Mike, if they need the chance to get on the field, he's keeping them sharp. But for me, that sixth man, that guy that you're going to be looking to, is Tyree Adams. He's had an excellent, excellent offseason, an excellent fall camp. I've been nothing but just impressed with what he provides this team. And then you look at the other guard position in Weston Davis. It's a five-star recruit, and he's really taken that step too. Brad Davis has been coaching him up really, really well. So the tackle positions are definitely there for the long haul once Emory Jones and Will Campbell are gone. But look, this second team, you got some dudes on that side. And I'm excited to see what they can do under Brad Davis for the long haul.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, Zach, you mentioned the offensive line, and I think Coach Kelly and Brad Davis, when you look at, if you're playing tight end and we're having tight end plays, you're like a glorified tackle on the outside. You know, the more you could do. And that's one thing under Coach Kelly. You could look at his background, offensive line, and tight ends. You'd be extremely disappointed if you wouldn't have guys who could contribute at a high level. So I was reading where LSU's working with both Mason Taylor, and Pimpton in two tight end sets, with Pimpton improving as a blocking tight end. Because we all view him as kind of a receiving tight end. But break that down for the fans. And you might see, well, everybody wants to see everybody spread out and all the RPOs and all that. But like when you gain yardage, you're gaining yardage. I don't care if you're utilizing two tight ends and you take advantage of with the defense and how they're trying to stop you. But just break down that strategy, two tight end sets and what Coach Kelly and the offense in that regard, what they might do.
Yeah, Mason Taylor is about as consistent as you can get from a tight end. You can put him wherever you want. He's going to find his bread and butter, whether you need him as a blocker, a receiver. We saw him do it against Alabama on that two-point conversion as a true freshman, and he's only kind of taken steps in the right direction ever since. So this is his quote-unquote money year, so he's going to be really trying to assert his dominance there. But he's going to be working in a two tight end set with Kamorian Pimpton is the look right now. And like you said, Kamorian Pimpton's a guy who's starting to get a little bit better by putting his hand in the dirt, becoming a really solid blocker. He's taking strides in the right direction there, but the two tight end set is going to be something that can help them in the run game for sure, where we're seeing more schemes with Caleb Jackson, who we talked about a little bit earlier, and Josh Williams as well. You're replacing over 1,000 yards on the ground we're talking about right now with Jaden Daniels, Logan Diggs, both those guys departing the program. So you're going to have to find some ways and get savvy just to try to find some guys that can really step up the run game. And for Brian Kelly and the rest of this offensive staff, that's working in a two tight end set, whether it's RPOs, whatever you can do there, but you got to get the run game going, and I think the two tight end set is going to help them in a lot of different ways, headlined by Mason Taylor and Kamorian Pimpton. But I'd be doing everybody a disservice if I wasn't talking about five-star phenom Tre'Dez Green. I mean, this is a Louisiana native who is bursting on the scene. Mike, you and I have talked about him before, and this is a guy who is just a phenom. I mean, he's a 6'7", 245-pound tight end, but you can put him as a receiver. You can put him wherever you want on the field. He's going to make a dang play. The tight ends are locked and loaded. The two tight end set is going to give them a lot of different options in the run game, the passing game, whatever you need, that they're going to live it up. So I'm really excited to see what they can do there. But to what you were saying, Bobby, yeah, of course, the two tight end set is going to open up a bunch of different options in the run game as well as in the RPO set as well.
Zach, I was talking to an LSU staffer, and he told me this. He said there's a lot of discussion about this in the defensive meetings. We got to find a way to get these young safeties on the field. And they, of everything that's happened on the defensive side, the football in the offseason, the development of their second-team safeties who are now pushing the starters hard to see playing time. Your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first team, you got Jordan Gilbert, Texas A&M transfer, and then Jordan Allen, who's a veteran on the team. But look, the attention's got to start shifting to that second team, and that's true freshman Deshaun Spears as well as redshirt freshman Kylan Jackson. And those two guys, I'd say start getting familiar with those names sooner rather than later, because Deshaun Spears is starting to form that consistency that you want from a true freshman. And you're going to hear me use the word consistency a lot, because that's what Brian Kelly's been saying to the media, to the team, to everybody. It's all about forming consistency, and you're really starting to see that with Deshaun Spears. This is a guy, another Louisiana native. He went and played at Denham Springs right down the road, and he's really bursting on the scene, Mike. I've loved everything that he's doing right now. And then Kylan Jackson. He's a guy who a lot of people would have thought would have been sitting back in that star role right behind Major Burns as the backup, but they shifted him back to safety, putting him into Deshaun Spears at that second team, and they're bursting on the scene really, really quick. I've been really excited about Deshaun Spears, and a second ago I was talking about Tre'Dez Green and talking about how phenomenal he is, and trust me, he is a phenom, but I'll contradict myself a little bit. Deshaun Spears came out today on one-on-one and had a really impressive pass breakup while on Tre'Dez Green and one-on-ones and press coverage. So it's been really nice to see the competition level from the young guys and Deshaun Spears and Kylan Jackson. Remember the names, because I expect to see them kind of take that jump as we transition to full pad work for the rest of fall camp.
Yeah, Zach, that's what I was going to ask you, because it's all about competition. I don't care if you've been here. We grade you every practice and or who's winning and who's being more productive. Could it be a case in point that Deshaun Spears, even though he is a freshman, could he unseat redshirt junior Sage Ryan as one of the starting safeties? You know, I've heard a lot of LSU fans have heard that name, Sage Ryan, but just because last year was last year, then you go forward and where you're at, could that be a possibility?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Sage Ryan's a guy who's getting cross-trained right now. He's working at cornerback first team right now. He's worked at safety in the spring. He's a guy who they're putting all over the field because they can't quite find his bread and butter right now, and LSU fans have given him a bad rap, and look, it is what it is. He hasn't produced at the level that a lot of people would have expected, considering he was a five-star out of high school. But when highlighting Deshaun Spears as a whole, this is a guy who's going to be pushing for playing time. I can't see a way where he doesn't see the field as a true freshman this season. He's looked that polished, that clean cut, and he kind of fits the mold of what cornerbacks coach Corey Raymond, safeties coach Jake Olsen. You're looking at what the secondary's like and what the play styles they're looking for, and that's Deshaun Spears. He's a lanky guy who's not scared of contact. He can get in the passing lanes. He'll hit the receiver if he needs be. And now we're in full pads, so we're going to get the full dose of what he's all about. But, yeah, Deshaun Spears is a guy who a lot of people have been raving about, and clearly myself here, if you're listening to the way I'm talking about him. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And, yeah, Bobby, I could see him unseating somebody if need be, just in case. You know, you got that safety depth right there for him.
Now, Zach, before we let you run, right now, I know the coaches poll came out. LSU is 12th. USC is 23. The fans, there's no way in hell we should lose to USC. I mean, that's the way LSU fans look at it. I mean, come on. Lincoln Riley, they got pressure. Their defense, LSU's defense, who's going to show up? But come Las Vegas, it's going to be here before you know it. LSU should win that game.
I would like to agree with you. I'd like to say that they got to go out there and make a statement, because if you drop that first game against USC, you're making your life very, very challenging for the rest of the season, considering you got Bama, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, UCLA. You got some teams on that schedule that are challenging. You can't drop that first game. And clearly in the past, if we were hoping history doesn't repeat itself here, LSU struggled in season openers in the past. It's no secret. We've seen it. But you got to go out and win that game. And it's going to be a shootout. You're looking at two defenses that aren't necessarily stellar. USC has some guys, but they're not necessarily the most impressive group in the world. LSU's defense has something to prove. So I think you're looking at a game that could be a shootout. I believe the over-under right now is sitting at about 62.5. So you're looking at a shootout, and you got to go out and win that game in Vegas. The lights are going to be brighter than ever, and it's an opportunity for LSU to prove themselves. And if you're asking me right now, I think LSU's got the weapons offensively to kind of win this one out and do what they can there. But we got a long way left until fall camp. I got a couple more evals that I got to do on both sides of the ball before I can give you a prediction of that sort. But look, I'm feeling really confident in LSU's chances going into Vegas against the Trojans for sure.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us today. Always great insights, bud. Thanks so much.
Of course, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
All righty, Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.